Zoe and Beetle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
But this was the Patriots all the way. They kind of stealthily targeted Josh Gordon throughout the morning, got in touch with the Browns earlier this afternoon, and they were very quickly the favorite. And as far as why, it is no surprise the Patriots have had issues at receiver for most of the season, from Julian Edelman's suspension, releasing Kenny Britt, Malcolm Mitchell getting released, on and on and on. Now Tom Brady has maybe the most purely talented receiver he has had since Randy Moss. A huge move for the Patriots today.
Sam Rappaport, NFL Network yesterday with the big news. Yeah. Josh Gordon coming to the Patriots. All right, so go.
I think, again, going back to that Jacksonville game, and I said this at the end of the game, if you need a microcosm of what this team offensively is right now, to see the motion, to see Brady in the pistol with Cordero Patterson behind him,
yeah,
and the smoke and mirrors you need to get people the ball, that tells you they're looking for perimeter help. And that's why I still go back to what I said 2-3 weeks ago, that they're knocking on doors and they're talking to people and they're going to bring somebody in of Golden Tate type caliber or better. This guy's way better if he's right. If he's right, there's a lot of ifs here. Mm-hmm. This is a low-risk, zero-risk type move with a massive home run type reward on the other end, if it works.
All right. So when it comes to Josh Gordon versus Golden Tate, who's got more pure talent?
Oh, Josh Gordon.
I totally agree.
It's not even close.
Now, who would you rather have?
Golden Tate right now.
Yep.
In the lineup. Let's go. Yeah. Well, I mean,
yep.
Yeah.
Golden Tate is the guy I would rather have.
But, I mean, you take Golden Tate off of what they do out there offensively, and we're going to see Detroit this week. And maybe it happens after that. Who knows? I mean, this could still happen. And it may not be the name of Golden Tate. The name of Golden Tate is to what they're really after. But what's it do for Detroit if you get rid of Golden Tate right now? That team goes into a 2-14 type year, 1-15 type year. Because they need Golden Tate on offense. And I know the roles sort of changed and their offense has changed somewhat, but you don't have that guy. You don't have that competitor on the field. You got problems on offense, as bad as Stafford has looked.
Talk about Josh Gordon. Gordon's played, obviously, in one game this season. He played in five games a season ago. He played in five games in 2014. That means he did not play at all in 2015. He did not play at all in 2016. Still a very talented player, but a guy who comes with baggage.
I'm not a great mathematician.
Big-time baggage.
But that's 11 games in 3 years, folks.
How many did he win? One.
Right.
He won a game. The last time that he played in a game in which a football team won the game was November 23rd of 2014. That is nearly four calendar years ago that he last won a football game in a 26-24 win at Atlanta.
What happened to Kenny Britt workout? I haven't heard anything about it.
So this is how you posed it to me yesterday.
What's going on? What happened to Kenny Britt?
He said, if I had to choose between Kenny Britt and Josh Gordon, who would I take? And I said, Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
That's how much I think Kenny Britt offers you no value whatsoever. This player will offer you value if he plays. If he plays, if he cares. And I think that's a major, major concern with this player. And I told you yesterday, and we played audio from pregame on Sunday, would I do it? No, I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't have done this move. This is shopping in the clearance department. This is, as you said, you know.
I won't say it's desperate, but it's.
Oh, it's totally desperate.
It's desperate.
This tells you how desperate they are offensively right now to have somebody that either creates the threat or is the threat.
Dude, they had three active receivers on a day when it was 120
total
degrees
desperation
at game time.
That's
crazy.
This is a desperation move by the Patriots right now, which tells you how they feel about their offense. And I think they're right to feel that way. I think they are. They're right to feel that way. They're right to want to make a move. They're right to want to add somebody. I just would have preferred a lot of other guys not named Josh Gordon.
No, and it's their right.
And here's,
why?
Here's the risk to me, because I think there is risk.
Well,
the
sure.
risk is that they make this move, and they try everything to make this move work. And in the meantime, They're not making the other moves. They're not going shopping for Golden Tate. They're not looking at other potential deals. This is their deal, and at the end of the day and at the end of the season, they'll say, we made a move. We tried to get better in the season. You know, we dealt with a lot of stuff preseason, which included guys that dealt with injuries. You could put Mitchell on that list. You could put Jordan Matthews on that list. We had an unfortunate PED suspension with Julian Edelman, and we still tried to get more by going after Josh Gordon, and you know, we just didn't have enough. We'll try more next offseason. I feel like they could potentially be passing on a deal for someone like Golden Tate because they did the Josh Gordon move.
Yeah. And
by the way, don't forget that Golden Tate actually costs something. It costs money,
right,
and it costs players or more than they tried to trade a sixth and ended up trading a fifth yesterday. We'll get to more on that later.
You probably have to give up a guy like a Malcolm Brown plus a linebacker, okay, maybe a draft pick to get
Golden Tate. So that's
giving
the
up
thing.
A fifth or seventh here.
Like the price of it always factors in with the Patriots,
right,
and they wanted to go cheap, and that's what they did. They went cheap on this move, and that's why they have Josh Gordon, and that comes with a ton of baggage and a ton of risk and the possibility that he doesn't even play very many games. That's a real possibility.
Yeah.
So we're here in Foxborough today. We're at Gillette Stadium. When's Josh Gordon showing up? Do we know?
Don't know. I would assume today.
Are we sure he's going to show?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah?
Well, maybe probably. I don't know definitively.
Isn't anything a possibility with this guy?
Yeah. I think everything's on the table with this guy.
Well, be looking out the door. We'll check out the door.
Maybe coach will bring him
we'll
in
check
like the
out
way
the door.
Hugh Jackson brought
in between
him.
Saying we yeah. will be on Josh Gordon watch today. Here in we're inside the stadium, just outside, you know, this wall behind us.
You think Bill would
is
say
the,
to
is
Josh,
the hallway hey? In that same hallway? The Patriots locker room is right down the
yeah.
hall. We'll go out. We'll peek out all day long, see if we can spot Josh Gordon.
You think Bill pushes that button and talks to Josh?
Josh, the Eagle is in the building.
So this is what I find interesting. Josh Gordon didn't know that he was being traded to the Patriots yesterday until the deal was pretty much done. It's not like anyone checked in with Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon
why
had
would
to
you
be,
have to check in with Josh
well,
Gordon.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, guys hear things or, you know, you've got a team check in with the agent for the player.
You think
before,
Jamie Collins?
Before and... they pull off the, no, no, but
Chandler
before.
Jones found out first.
But would it stun
hey,
you?
Okay,
would it stun you if a guy like Josh Gordon had, you know, hey, his agent called and said, hey, I just want to let you know what's going on. You know, through back channels. Here's what I think is happening.
They never tell the agent.
The report yesterday said he wanted to play for the Jaguars.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't the Jaguars. This is the New England Patriots.
Right.
So that's why I ask, is he going to show?
I think he'd be a mess down there. Maybe he doesn't want to come in because, oh, man, now I got to really conform.
See,
that's the problem.
Do you think this place is the type of place where Josh Gordon is going to thrive?
Meaning, what do you mean thrive? Just be active for 10 games?
No, thrive. Be a good football player and a good teammate.
I don't think there's
and a guy who works hard and shows up every single day ready to do football.
Who knows? Who knows? At some point, you need to have that come to Jesus moment. Maybe he has. But considering his track record, it looks like he probably hasn't. So my answer would be no, it doesn't seem like the environment. But if there's any environment, this is the one because they're going to make you do it or they're going to cut your ass. Yeah, if he's looking at it too.
And if he wants to go play, if he wants to go play for the Jaguars, isn't that exactly what he wants? Go ahead. Cut me. Cut my ass, as you just said. Go ahead.
Yeah. Or you could just trade his ass to an NFC team.
Let me loose.
I mean, Bill, bury it in an NFC team. It's bad.
Do you think that he's going to have trade value if after this trade is completed and the Patriots acquire him, they could then turn around and trade him to somebody else before the deadline and another team would actually pay them? No. His trade value is gone.
Yeah.
The trade value is out the window.
Right.
That's it. Here's Jason Cole. He tweeted this 3 days ago. Josh Gordon is a nice guy. Jason Cole, who's covered the NFL for decades now. Josh Gordon is a nice guy, and I hope he figures out life, but he doesn't love football and never has. They had to beg him to play at Baylor. Sad waste of amazing talent. That is Jason Cole's assessment of who Josh Gordon is. You ask yourself, is that guy going to thrive in an environment where it's all about football? It's all about being a good player and caring and wanting to. You got to love football. Isn't that what Bill Belichick is always about?
Yeah.
I mean, anything you've ever read, behind-the-scenes looks at Bill Belichick's, any of the books that have been written.
No, it seems like this guy likes weed more than football.
Isn't that one of their questions? Isn't that what, you know, back in the day, Romeo and Charlie and Bill would sit there and ask themselves, does this guy love football?
You think he's in a bubble somewhere?
Does Josh Gordon love football? It doesn't sound like he loves football.
You think he's in a bubble somewhere like Edelman is working out with Matthews up in BC's bubble because you're throwing and you're running routes every day?
No.
I don't think that's him. I just think he's a freak of nature, and I play with guys like this. guys that can eat Big Macs, guys that can just eat 5 pounds of bacon, loaves of bread, eggs, whatever you want, drink soda, do all that. But yet you're cut like a statue, like a Greek god. This guy's got a metabolism that is not of this world. It's weird because you don't hear the stories or, you know, the stuff. You know, like the Mark Wahlberg stuff. I get up at what? You know, my day starts at 2 a.m. I start working out at the gym at 4:30. That ain't Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon probably sleeps until 10, gets up, hits the weed, maybe goes and has some Chick-fil-A or something, gets some French fries, extra ketchup, and then goes and
plays
some video games.
I wouldn't care about any of those things if he loved football. Smoke all the weed you want.
My point is that's not
football. Eat all the Chick-fil-A you want.
Yeah.
Play all the video games you want. At the end of the day, do you love playing football? Because that has pretty much been a standard prerequisite of players in New England for a very long time.
And I've heard people criticize Dez. You know, they criticize Dez and say, well, his love of the game and, you know, the commitment and the off stuff. But I do know this about Dez Bryant. It's the one thing I've always said. On Sundays when those freaking lights go on, that SOB plays ball. I want him out there. I want him scratching and clawing for every single inch that he could get and fighting for the football. That's the one thing that guy can do. We can't say that about Josh Gordon. But I've called games where I've seen them hand him the ball, throw him the ball, and him smoke a guy like Aqib Talib, and that's the ceiling, and that's what I'm crossing the fingers and hoping you could get 80% of.
So, I'm rooting for this move to work out like I root for every Patriots move to work out, but I just have a lot of questions about it. And my first one being, how is this going to work? How is this going to function? This is really not a Patriot. This guy doesn't have Patriot-like qualities when it comes to the great Patriot teams that we've seen over the last couple of decades. I don't know. I'm skeptical that it's going to work. 617-779-0985. We're talking a lot about Josh Gordon today. We are in Foxborough. Zoe's going to keep peeking his head right out that door over there.
We'll see Coach
during the breaks. We're going to see if Josh Gordon is on campus today. We'll keep our eyes peeled for that. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls as well. Coming up, Zolak and Bertrand from Foxborough.
Podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Zone Beetle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates.
Slant to Gordon. He's going to try to run away from Talib across the 40-yard line. Goodbye. Wow. Peeling away to the 20. He's on his way coasting into the end zone. High-stepping to a Cleveland score. 80 yards for Josh Gordon.
That's a man right there.
Savior of the universe.
That's a man right there, says Scott Zolak.
I've never seen a man abuse Aqib Talib.
Look at his touchdown that he had in week one. I mean, all the talent in the world. There's no debate about his talent.
Yeah.
When he plays and he's right, he's...
Well, complicated offense, right? How's he ever going to pick this offense up? It's so complicated. Well, which it is complicated.
It is, but you have something on that you want to share, so go.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Who was his offense coordinator in Cleveland? Todd Haley. Mm-hmm. Todd Haley's running the offense he wants to run, which is... based out of the language of the Ron Earhart old New York Giants system, the zero out slot, the numbering of formations, the name tag of routes, which Todd learned under Charlie Weiss. Todd Haley was groomed under Charlie Weiss and Dan Henning, the offensive coordinator for the Jets. When I was down there, Charlie coached the tight ends. Todd coached the receivers. Dan Henning was the offensive coordinator. And that's where Charlie became an innovator, and that's how he became a great offense coordinator. Todd Haley
learned
the same
Parcells.
Language under Parcells as the head coach.
Right.
So there is some institutional knowledge based on the system. Now, has the offense changed from when I was with the Jets? Yes. But I'm sure Todd's advanced it to the point where Josh has advanced it, and it's less of a two-back offense. And that's when the three wide receiver set started, really, with them. And it was, the Troy Brown years, the Dedrick Ward. That's right. Sorry. So you had Corbett, Ward, and Keyshawn Johnson, along with a pretty damn good tight end, and you had Curtis as a back. That's sort of what this offense is. Curtis Martin's a Hall of Fame back. You have a great third down back in James White. You have an all-world tight end that the Jets didn't have. You got Edelman, who's a hell of a slot, probably better than Corbett, and as good or maybe better. I don't want to say better than Troy Brown. Troy Brown was a great player. And now all of a sudden you get somebody on the outside like this freak. And I mean, man, it gives you a chance is what it does.
Yeah.
So he's
not, honestly learning the offense.
It's not where he's going to have to break the huddle. Tom Brady's going to have to go, you have to run the curl. You have to run the slant. You have to run the post or give him it, you know?
Learning the offense for me is like down the list. It's not even near the top of the list.
No, but I got a lot of those. This guy doesn't care. It's like football's not going to work. It's never going to pick up the offense. Chad Ochocinco never picked it up. Well, it's like night. It's a completely
If you've got concerns about the player, learning the offense is down the list. It's not near the top of the list.
That's fair.
It really is.
Yeah. What do people think? Let's go to people.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Mike and Chelsea, your thoughts on Josh Gordon.
Okay, he hung up. Good.
Not a good start.
Next.
Farouk in Quincy. Farouk.
Zoe Beetle, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate your time.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Better today.
Great. So, guys, this is my favorite Boston sports signing of all time. It's right up there with the big ticket.
Wow.
There's no downside to it.
How about Randy Moss?
Randy Moss, up there, exactly. That's a close second, but this is ahead of Randy Moss.
Close second? Beetle.
This is not better than Randy Moss.
How can you say that? You got 3 great years from Randy.
Randy Moss is one of the best receivers to ever play the game.
Randy, you're $27 million.
I wore a Randy Moss jersey to the game on opening day. I love Randy Moss. I think Josh Gordon's going to be better than Randy Moss. Listen, Beetle, I don't understand how you can be so negative about this move. We cut him if he doesn't work out. And not only that, I mean, the guy's been playing in Cleveland. Oh, we gave him so many chances. Blah, 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 blah. He had chance after chance. Guess where he kept coming back with all those chances? Cleveland. I mean, good God.
Anybody, I don't understand that point. What do you mean by that?
They're not going to give him a second chance here, a third or fourth.
Exactly. Exactly. So
you got two strikes on you, and it's a 3-2 count. I mean, no balls.
The guy is a freak athlete, an absolute freak athlete. He's exactly what the offense needs. Stretch the field. The guy's an absolute maniac.
They say this too, and they asked me this. Who's that?
Farouk.
Farouk.
There a wrestler named Farouk back in the day?
Well, he's injured. He's not going to play this week. I put him in uniform on Sunday Night Football. You got another day to get him in the hotel. You got 2 days to keep teaching him the offense.
Farouk.
I stick him out there in the field just to make Matt Patricia go, oh, hell, what are they going to do with him? You know? You got to put him opposite formation of Gronkowski or put him in trips bunch to the right. Well, one guy's on the line of scrimmage, Gronkowski's on the inside flex, and this guy's flexed off the line outside. And you're running all those. How about you run some freaking crossing routes? Like other teams run crossing routes against you. Do it with this guy. Stick it on him, 6 foot. Was he 6'4", 250? Stick it on him running around. Give him the ball in a little slant, like Gronk block.
There was a
Let's
Farouk.
Go.
There was a Farouk.
Yeah.
And he, in real life, he had played football for FSU.
Was that King Farouk, Beetle? Is that what his wrestling name was?
No, his ring name was Farouk Assad.
Oh, who's King Farouk then?
I don't know.
What, are you studying ancient Egyptians?
I have no idea.
Oh, he was an actual king. Never mind.
I'm talking about the actual wrestler, not the king.
Well, I was talking about the wrestler too, but it turns out King Farouk was a person.
Yeah.
There's no wrestler.
The idea that there's no downside, this is where I disagree. There is downside. There is risk. And the risk is, number one, you waste your time, that you wasted a pick that you could have used in another deal, that you get him in here, and because you keep trying to figure it out and work it out with him, that you're now passing on other potential deals for other players, i.e. Golden Tate, that you now are not, you know, in on or interested in because you've already acquired Josh Gordon. And so that to me is a risk. And I also think there's a risk that all of a sudden he comes in and he's great for 8 or 9 games. And then when you need him most in December and January, he disappears or gets in trouble again with the league. I mean, those are legitimate fears. That would be a problem.
Yeah.
That he leaves you high and dry at some point. The way he's left Cleveland high and dry many times. Many, many times. But my biggest concern is not anything to do with the off-the-field stuff or the sobriety, which is obviously a concern for his availability. My biggest concern is, do you even want to play football? Do you even like football? Never mind love football. Do you even like it? Jason Cole, I read you that tweet earlier. They had to beg the kid to play at Baylor. They had to beg him just to play. He just didn't even care to play.
Like David Price at Vanderbilt. That's when go to McDonald's and work.
Begging him to play. Yeah. Mike and Chelsea, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Did that guy just say this was the best signing
in Boston sports history?
Yeah, he's a little over the top.
All right, so listen, I don't mind the signing. I don't mind the quote-unquote the character issues. The kid obviously has a substance abuse problem.
Right.
Does Belichick's relationship with Lawrence Taylor affect how he views this?
It's a good question.
Ooh, it's actually a really good question. I don't know. I wouldn't know the answer, but it's an interesting idea.
And I just, here's what you do as a coach. You cut corners.
Lawrence Taylor as it talent overtakes everything else.
How many guys out there of this nature can you acquire for what they gave up to get? Zero.
None.
You're taking advantage of somebody else's bad situation. And you got to trust the process. You got to trust your environment. And you get them in the locker room. You get them around Hightower, McCourty, Brady, Gronkowski. It's interesting. You put a call for what it is, a loser in a winning environment.
But even if
– and it takes a couple weeks, and let's see what happens.
Even if, you know, the relationship with Lawrence Taylor and having coached Lawrence Taylor when he was using all kinds of cocaine, hell of a drug.
That's why he's so fast.
I mean, woo.
Anybody ever question his love for football, though?
No, never. This is what I'm getting to. Like, even though he coached Lawrence Taylor loved the game of football, and Lawrence Taylor wanted nothing more than to be out there on Sundays playing. And I think that's why my number one concern is not the drug use or whatever it is that's going on off the field. It's this desire. It's this passion for the actual sport. And we don't even know if he wants to be here. That's why I asked off the top. Ask yourself this question. Does this player, is he the type of guy who will thrive in New England? Is this the environment where a guy like this thrives? And I can't, in good faith, answer that question with a yes.
Corey Dillon and Randy Moss thrive, too.
Do it. Randy Moss. Do not compare him
I'm
to Randy Moss.
Him, Randy Moss.
Don't.
But
because
I'm
Randy
about
Moss
guys with
had
history.
His issues.
Yes,
had
he did.
His issues.
Yes, he did.
But again, to go to the Lawrence Taylor comparison, you know what Randy Moss, how he felt about football. Loved it. Loved the sport. Now, did he tap out in Minnesota and in Oakland and eventually in New England?
Yes.
Yep, because he was a pain in the ass and he would eventually tap out and move on to the next spot.
Can you catch lightning? What they're trying to do is catch lightning in a bottle.
And he had his issues. Guy ain't Randy Moss. This guy ain't Lawrence Taylor. No, no, no. That's an insult to Randy Moss to compare Josh Gordon to Randy Moss.
Yeah, I thought it was an insult to say it's the greatest sports signing in Boston sports history.
Insult to Moss. You know what this is like? This is like Albert Haynesworth. This is like Albert
Manny Ramirez.
This is similar to the Albert Haynesworth move.
Think about all the great sports signings we've had in this town.
There is a quote from Bill Belichick that I will tell you next that tells me that the Patriots are at a point of desperation by going after Josh Gordon. And Bill Belichick is going to speak at 11 a.m. on a conference call. He spoke publicly yesterday but would not acknowledge the signing. Sorry, Big O.
On the phone, too.
Yeah, so we're going to have
to. He wouldn't even come down 100 yards.
We're going to have to listen in today to Bill Belichick's conference call at 11 to see if he will finally acknowledge that the signing has happened and the trade has happened with Cleveland. And that might have to do with physicals and whether or not he had been here yet, and we don't know if he has been here, if he is going to be here. We'll try and learn more at 11. But I want to tell you what Bill Belichick said back in 2013 that tells me this goes against what he believes in. And we'll get to that coming up after these headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
A new face in Foxborough today. The Patriots now have Josh Gordon as a part of the team. He was traded by the Browns in exchange for a fifth rounder in 2019. The Pats will get a 2019 seventh round pick from the Browns as well if Gordon is not active for 10 games. Patriots owe Josh Gordon $697,058 U.S. on his 2018 contract. He'll also be a restricted free agent after the season. Patriots getting ready for the Lions in Detroit on Sunday night. Zoe and Beetle, they're live in Foxborough. More of them coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Last night, Bears beat the Seahawks 24-17 to wrap up NFL Week 2. Red Sox will not play the Yankees at 1 o'clock this afternoon as scheduled. Instead, that game has been pushed back to a 7:05 start at Yankee Stadium due to weather. Headlines are brought to you by the Peterson School, training the hardest working people in the trade since 1946. Sign up online at petersonschool.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get your Sports Hub headlines anytime in your flash briefing on your Alexa voice-activated speaker or right here in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com.
11 years ago. It was April. The Raiders traded you to the Patriots. It was around draft time, so it wasn't during the season. But what was that like?
It was just, I was just a lot of butterflies because I didn't know what to expect going in the locker room. But one thing that I will tell you that Josh Gordon needs to hear, those guys in that locker room is going to embrace Josh Gordon. Devin McCourty, captain. You got Matthew Slater. And then last but not least, number 12, Tom Brady, is going to embrace Josh Gordon because he's been wanting a weapon, a big, tall weapon, 6'3"-ish. Freakish talent to be able to go out and make those plays. Can you look at this offense when Edelman comes back? Gronkowski out there. Now they just received Josh Gordon. So the guys in the locker room will definitely welcome him with open arms. But the question I have is, how quickly will Josh Gordon be able to pick up a sophisticated offense ran by Josh Daniels?
That's Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, he knows. He's just, I do it all.
Randy has concerns. That's Randy Moss, of course. He has some concerns about how fast he'll pick up the offense. That's Randy Moss talking last night on ESPN. And Randy said the team will embrace him, will be embracing Josh Gordon as he comes in. Tom Brady actually spoke last night and was asked by Jim Gray about this acquisition of Josh Gordon. Why don't we hear from TB12 on this?
Tom, Josh Gordon has been traded this afternoon to the Patriots from Cleveland. A tremendous talent, also has had a number of problems. What are your thoughts on Josh Gordon coming?
I just can't get past.
Does he sound like a text-to-speech?
Tom.
Did you hear that?
Josh Gordon. Tom.
Press 1 for English, 2 for Spanish.
Wow.
Tom.
All right, let's play it now.
Like an ATM.
It sounds like it does. It sounds like you type in the text and it reads
Josh
it back
Gordon.
To you, like Siri's reading you an email.
Right. Hello.
Tom.
All right, go.
Josh Gordon has been traded this afternoon to the Patriots from Cleveland. A tremendous talent, also has had a number of problems. What are your thoughts on Josh Gordon coming over now to the Patriots?
I hate to make projections and expectations. That's not fair. I've never met Josh personally, just like I have met some of the guys that have come in the last couple of weeks. So we'll see how it goes this week. Hopefully he can work hard, put the team first, and end up helping us in any role that he can find for himself on the team.
That's it.
Okay.
That's what he's got.
But he at least addressed it where Belichick wouldn't.
Tom.
So it is a done deal.
He's got nothing, no legal involvement talking about a player, you know.
No, and he didn't pull the trigger on the deal. It's interesting. Put team first, right? Put the team first.
Yeah.
So right there, he's telling you Josh Gordon in the past has put himself first.
Bill Belichick in 2013 said this at his weekly press conference on a Wednesday, September 4th, 2014. He was asked about reliability and dependability. If they were as important as potential, after talking about Steve Gregory and his grasp of the New England defense. This is a story I'm reading from Doug Kide on Nesson. Here's the quote Belichick had that day. We like to say that dependability is more important than ability. That's Bill Belichick, September 4th, 2013. That dependability is more important than ability. And I'd say we know that. We know that's how the Patriots have operated. And now you've got someone that has very little dependability and all kinds of ability. Ability off the charts. Dependability.
I wonder what.
Not even registering.
I wonder what his press conferences were like that week they played Cleveland. When Tlaib had himself a day against him leading up to it. What was the Wednesday like? What was the press conference like? What'd you think of Josh Gordon, Bill? You got to face him this week. You put your number one DB on him. What did he have? He had like 174 yards, and he had a rushing touchdown. He had himself a day, man. And I had no clue who the hell Josh Gordon was at that time. And I remember calling that game, and I'm like, that was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen a receiver do. As good as Antonio Brown is, and as good a games he's had, especially like the Butler game, where Butler's in his hip pocket in that. It's just, there's things you remember in games that you call that stand out. And it was one of the most impressive things, feats that I've seen an offensive player do and accomplish in one game.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Bill, who's in Amherst. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing? About the Josh Gordon thing, the way I'm looking at this is everybody's drumming up the past, and we all know his record, and everyone's talking about all the things that he's done and all the trouble and all the suspensions. But here he is in New England, and the only thing that I'm approaching this is, you know, a clean slate. He's got a clean slate here. Josh is no dummy. I mean, I told you before, I met Josh. I know Josh. He's not dumb. He knows what he's got to lose here, and probably more important, he knows what he's got to gain. He wants to be here. I know he does. And he's going to do great things. I mean,
Bill, give the Bill, guy you a called chance, us clean you slate. Called us what? A couple weeks ago? How long ago was that that you called us?
A couple weeks ago. Me and him were in rehab together.
All right, and tell me about that conversation you had with him then, because you were talking about how he wanted to be in New England at that point. Didn't he say something like that?
Well, yeah. We were together 2 weeks. So, I mean, I got to know him pretty well. And one time we were just talking, and he was talking about where he was going to be and about his situation in Cleveland. And I told him, I said, Jesus, I would love to see you come to New England. And I believe that, you know, he's going to thrive here. He needs the structure of this organization. He's going to get with Tom Brady. He's going to get with Belichick. This is it. I mean, he does this. He's going to be a rich man for the rest of his life. If he does his job here and falls into line and falls the program and he knows what he's got to lose, he could be great. He's going to end up signing some unbelievable contract and be a rich man for the rest of his life. I'm pulling for the kid. 100%.
I don't think anyone's not pulling for him. I'm certainly not rooting against him. Don't get it confused.
No.
I mean, it would be a fabulous story if he were to come here and really, you know, focus on football and, you know, continue to work on whatever it is he's working on outside of football and be a productive player and a good teammate and a guy who the team can depend on. He turns into a player who can be considered dependable in the NFL. That would be a great story. I'm definitely rooting for that to happen. But if we're talking about it realistically, you should have some major concerns that that's going to be the outcome. I mean, that's not the odds-on favorite to have happen here. It's not.
No. No. And I mean, it's just like that thoroughbred horse that, you know, it's just this, it's skittish, but man, when you watch the horse run or something there, you just get attracted to it, you know, but it doesn't conform and it doesn't confine to the way you want to do things. It's just that wild. These type of players are fun to watch, you know, but it's a shame what he's had to deal with. He has lost himself probably or cost himself maybe in the neighborhood of $50 to $60 million at least.
Maybe.
Think about some of the guaranteed money that some of these receivers are getting.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Look at a guy like Antonio Brown saying, trade my ass, see if it's me or Ben. This guy, if he's right, could have made a ton of money in this league.
Do you know what I'm going to save this thought. Let's follow up on that. But we also have Bill Belichick that we can play right now. The quote I just mentioned from 2013, we were working on getting the audio, and we actually do have.
You know why we pulled this?
Because
Julian Edelman was in Guerrero's table talking about pliability being an ability.
That's what I was thinking of last year.
Ah.
Pliability, ability, and that's why you pulled that.
So
pliability is ability.
This is why
ability is dependability.
This is why we pulled Belichick from all those years ago.
Yeah.
All right, let's play it.
This is reliability as important as potential. This is see a play in reliability.
Yeah, we like to say dependability is more important than ability. So put it that way. Maybe I use your phrase, but that's the one we use. But that's I think we're saying the same thing.
Dependability is more important than ability. Mm. Bill Belichick, September 4th, 2013. That's what you got there. All right, let's follow up on that thought about the money he's lost and the potential to get paid down the road and everything to do with Josh Gordon, including more of your calls. We are live in Foxborough. Zoe hasn't spotted him yet. Keeps checking. We're going to keep looking for Josh Gordon. We are in search of Josh Gordon. Has the bird landed?
Eagle.
Hugh Jackson?
Eagle.
You call him the eagle or the what do you call him?
The eagle
has landed?
Hey, eagle's in the building.
Yeah.
All right. Navy workout.
Navy working out.
In shape.
That's all coming up.
You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Zoe and Beetle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that was me saying I didn't agree with the move. It's not necessarily I don't agree with the talent because
right.
The talent's there.
Talent's there.
I don't agree with sometimes people that have talent beyond belief. They have more talent than anything you could imagine, but they don't do anything the right way, and they continue to get opportunities. Eventually, you start to look at it like, well, why the hell am I working so hard?
Rob Ninkovich with Bill Perry and NBC Sports Boston, of course. He doesn't sound like he's a big fan of the move.
Well, I get where he's coming from, and I totally get it. And doing a preseason with Rob, I got to know Rob a hell of a lot more. I like Rob a lot. And, sort of kind of the same thing. I never was the type of player Rob was. Rob became a great starter and won Super Bowls here. But back in the beginning, what he's talking about, he talked about getting cut and being down with the Saints, and then you get shipped to Miami, and then you're getting cut on a Wednesday of game week, and you're on a plane with them as you're released, and it's kind of a weird feeling. And you look and you sit there, and they always bring somebody else in. And just look at Rob. He's not a 6'6", 255, 270-pound ripped Jadeveon Clowney type guy. But when you come up in the league and you look at guys that are brought in, and you always see it. You see some guy that's so damn gifted. And you know you're not that gifted, right? But what he's talking about is, why am I busting my ass? I got to overwork just to get a chance to even get on a field and compete. And I think that's where he's coming from, too. And it frustrates you at times as a player that this guy's going to get how many chances? I mean, they just put the scroll up on NBC Sports Boston about, looking at, okay, he had four games. He got whacked four games for weed. Then he got whacked 10 games. Then he got whacked a whole year and then another year. And now here you are. I mean, how many chances are you going to get guys like this? I look at a guy like Rick Meyer, former first-round pick. I thought he sucked. But yet he's going to keep getting opportunities and get chances. And I got cut by the Jets because he became available in a trade because Ron Wolf picks up the phone and calls Bill Parcells, former first-round pick. And I know, Bill, you were getting teased that we either draft Drew Bledsoe or Rick Meyer. So why don't you bring Meyer in at least as a backup? Then I get whacked for it. Then that pisses you off as a player. So I understand completely where Rob Ninkovich is coming from on this.
But did you ever stop working hard because somebody was in the building? I think that's the part that's wrong. Guys that are self-motivated aren't going to stop working hard just because something's going wrong.
Right.
Or just because they see something wrong.
Right.
If the guys that will stop working are the guys looking for a reason to stop working.
And I don't know what else he thinks more about Josh Gordon than that, but if you're around Josh Gordon and if you're sitting there and you see him dogging stuff or he's maybe sleeping in a meeting, you put the hood up and you put the hat, the sunglasses on, head down over your eyes, is that guy sleeping in meetings? What's he doing? You ask yourself that, and it just pisses you off, and it eats at you, and then it doesn't affect the way you do things because you're ingrained a certain way. You understand, I got to work this way to stay in this league. So I completely understand.
I think that happens on a 2-14 team. It doesn't happen here.
So
yeah.
Bill and Amherst mentioned that he could be a very rich man, and you talked about all the money that he's passed up in his career, right?
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want to be rich? Everybody wants money, right?
Right.
But it's just, in this league, you've got to be really good, consistently good. You've got to be committed, and you've got to, for the most part, be passionate about the sport.
And you got to watch who you're around, too, and that's part of the problem with him, who he's influenced by. You got one brother here and one brother there, and you tell the story, the good guy and the bad guy, and this guy keeps dragging him down. This one brings him out.
Bill said he could become a very rich man. The truth is, Bill, he should already be a very rich man.
That's my point.
That
money's gone.
To put those two things together.
You're not coming here to say, you're going to get a contract next year.
You can't say, he knows now that he can be rich. Well, he just didn't know it 2-3 years ago or other circumstances related to his sobriety got in the way. Okay, but then you're admitting that it's not just, about him knowing it now. He's always known it.
Right.
And that's why my fear would be, of course he wants to be rich. Of course he wants to keep playing in the NFL for the paychecks.
I mean,
who wouldn't?
Look at Jarvis Landry. They went out of their way in free agency to sign that guy, get Jarvis Landry, pay him all that money. That could have been Josh Gordon's money if he played it right.
Even being at a rock-bottom NFL rate of $790,000 this year, where else is he getting a job that pays him $800,000 a year?
Nowhere.
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 So even at the rock-bottom rate, of course he wants those paychecks. Who wouldn't? So does he want the paychecks? Does he want to be rich, or does he want to be a great football player? Because you got to want to be a great football player before you get rich. It's just what you have to do in this league. Alex in Fitchburg. Hi, Alex.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Okay. We'll try Eric in Ton. Eric.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
I understand that doesn't he have to play for 10 games? Doesn't he have to make 10 games?
10 games to be a fifth-round pick. If it's anything less, then it becomes a seventh.
That has nothing to do with him. That has only to do with the compensation the Patriots are paying the Browns.
Well, I don't – how can we lose? What's this guy – how are they going to scheme plays for him? What's Brady going to do with him? He's going to carve up every secondary. You guys, get happy.
Well, I mean, to carve up also, you need to be in rhythm, and you need to be able to drop back, close your eyes, and know where you're going with the ball, because this is what this coverage says, and I know this guy's going to be there. They ain't on the same page.
Bill Belichick is going to speak momentarily on a conference call with the media, and we are going to dip into that live, if you will. So let's get headlines with Hardy, and we're back in 90 seconds.